Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jamie Creel with Shelter Insurance. Come see how we've built a name that you can trust and why it is a must to get your free quote today with our Switch and Save. Located in Ridgeland and Flora, Mississippi, give us a call, 601-992-6000.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Thursday night. It's Rebel Report Live. I'm Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. On the docket tonight, we've got a couple of things. Well, it's a trio of things, one of which is not going to be a particularly popular conversation, but it did happen last night. I do think that we need to talk about it. We'll save that for the end. That is baseball losing in the Governor's Cup last night. We'll put that aside because there are some possible reinforcements. That's the title of this deal tonight. Some possible reinforcements coming to the Ole Miss defense. A big-time potential pickup anyway, getting all the crystal balls and all the predictions and stuff for Ole Miss to land a major, major transfer portal defensive back. We'll tell you about that. We'll talk about the portal rankings across the SEC. It is officially closed. There is no more entering the portal. That closed on Tuesday, but there was still a 48-hour thing because you could – submit your intention, and then they have 2 days to – it's a mess. The portal's a mess. Doesn't matter. It's closed now, and so we're going to look at the team rankings in the SEC. A couple of things have stood out to me. Talked about it a lot on the radio show today, and I want to bring that conversation, at least some of it, to you guys as well. And then, of course, we will get to your comments as we always do. I appreciate you guys being here. I do want to tell you that the Rebel Report with me, Michael Borky, is brought to you by – the Gregory Law Firm. We all know in sports, especially in college sports, injuries are unavoidable. They're going to happen over the course of a season. However, unless you're an athlete, or me, because I'm not an athlete, but I still get hurt all the time, I did the radio show today. I'm not kidding, guys. I did the radio show with, here, I'll show it to you. I'm not ashamed of who I am. This electric heating pad that I bought on Amazon, this thing's incredible. Because I have completely destroyed my back. And so I did literally the entire radio show with an electric heating pad on today. So I get injured all the time. Hopefully you do not, but if you do, when you do, I've got the place for you. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, if you've been personally injured or if you have a small business or contract dispute, call him, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, located in Saltillo, Mississippi, to discuss your legal options. You may not need him today, but it's really important, guys, to keep this number, to keep the Gregory Law Firm in mind. If anything comes about, you may not be in a legal dispute at the moment. I hope you're not, but when that day comes, save this number. Remember the name, DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting Rebel Report Live. Don't forget to subscribe, by the way, if you're listening in podcast form or on the website. Search Rebel Report, subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Michael Borky. Appreciate you guys being here live. Let's get right into it. Isaiah Hamilton is a pretty new name for a lot of Ole Miss people anyway. I know that The portal never sleeps, and they are constantly recruiting in and engaging with the transfer portal. But here's a name that I didn't know this name or that they were involved with this player until earlier today. And now it looks like this recruitment is moving very, very fast. Matt Zenitz, Pete Dank, all these guys, the 24/7 guys, the On3 guys, all these national prognosticators are predicting that Isaiah Hamilton, who is set to visit Ole Miss here in the very near future, can't talk tonight, moving a little fast, that's okay, is going to end up at Ole Miss. He is the number 9, if I counted it correct. Let's do this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, he's the number 10 defensive back, according to On3, one spot ahead of current Ole Miss DB, Trey Amos. And if you guys know how much the team and the people around the program like Trey Amos, if you want to think back to when Lane Kiffin was asked in his post-spring press conference, or I think it was right before the spring game, when he was asked about, you know, what does a Nick Saban coach defensive back bring to your program, he had a very detailed answer that really told you a lot about what he thought of Trey Amos. And this guy is rated ahead of Trey Amos, at least according to On3. He's a four-star defensive back. He was at Texas Southern. He's a bit of a late bloomer, was at Texas Southern, transferred to Houston, had a really good year for Houston last year, 50 tackles, including four interceptions last season as well. Did have five interceptions in 2022 for Texas Southern, for whatever that may be worth to you. But he was apparently supposed to visit Alabama this weekend, has chosen not to visit Alabama. There is a rather significant meltdown going on in Alabama message board land right now because Pete Golding is doing the Pete Golding thing again, and they're seemingly having kind of a hard time grasping the fact that Pete Golding is actually like revered and good at his job. But anyway, so if this comes to fruition, I do think that this will be your other defensive back opposite Trey Amos. I do think that that is likely, especially when you look at personnel. They lost Walker back to Michigan, so there was kind of a depth hole there. They needed to get defensive back help. I know that there are others in that room as well, but these two guys, I think, would be your most likely candidates to be your two cornerbacks in this defense for Pete Golding. So again, Alabama was after this guy. They were trying to get him in for a visit. He's reportedly choosing not to visit Alabama and to instead visit Ole Miss, and everybody thinks that that's where he's going to end up. If that becomes true, I think you need to learn that name, because I do think this will be your other defensive back in this Ole Miss defense. So that's a big news item today if they're able to pull it off. Obviously, a quality player. Not many quality players like this available in the spring portal. We've talked about that a bunch already. This spring portal window has not been something that it has not lived up to the hype, for sure. Now, a couple of defensive linemen have entered since the deadline came on Tuesday that Ole Miss, I think, should be involved in, and we'll see if they have to. If Barron ends up going to Miami instead of Ole Miss, Tyler Barron, the Tennessee/Louisville transfer. If this is all very confusing, it's confusing to me too. But I think we're getting there. The end of this road is near, and we can actually just like have a roster to look at and preview and talk about. But so there's a few defensive linemen that I think they're going to be in pursuit of. But this was a pretty big hole that they need to fill, I think. When you look at the roster and where there were areas of need, they have done an excellent job of filling those areas of need. But as we've talked about, defensive end, and then losing the Michigan transfer back to Michigan, defensive back became a position of need as well, seemingly about to fill that need. Now, because of what they've done at running back, I think there's really only one need left, and it's just one more defensive lineman. And frankly, I'd kind of expect them to fill that hole here pretty soon as well. So that does not affect this. It'll only make it better. But here is topic number two of the night. I was looking at this morning, the portal rankings, the portal class rankings. This is via 24/7 as of 10:15 this morning. So maybe there's been a little bit of movement between then and now. Maybe so. I don't think there has been. But a couple of things that really stand out to me on this list, to no surprise to you, or at least it shouldn't be a surprise to you, Ole Miss is number one still in the 24/7 transfer portal class rankings. Texas A&M is number two. Elko's done a really nice job there. And, you know, with coaching turnover and a lot of roster turnover there, they've, you know, had to be active in the portal, and they've done a really nice job there, and they have a really good portal class. I think Texas A&M might be one of those teams this year that we look up as an overachiever. Under Jimbo, they were perpetual. I really can't talk tonight. Sorry, guys. They were perpetual underachievers under Jimbo. I think in year one, everybody's kind of overlooking Texas A&M, not looking at them as any kind of playoff contender. I like what they've got at quarterback. I like what they have on roster, and I really like what they've done in the portal Elko obviously did a really good job with Duke in year one. I think that A&M might be a team that, you know, when we look up a few months from now, they're really formidable, and nobody is really thinking that they can be that. I think that they just might be somebody that you need to look out for here in 2024. So they were number two, Alabama number four, Texas number seven, South Carolina number 12. Pretty nice job being done by Shane Beamer there. Missouri 13, Georgia 14. Georgia's only 14 because they don't take that many. That is a volume thing and not a quality thing. Kentucky at 19, Oklahoma at 22, Florida 23, Auburn 27, Arkansas 29. Now those two, I'll stop there for a second. There's going to be kind of a trend, I think, with the bottom of this list of teams that I think needed to have much better portal cycles, and they have not had that. I know Auburn fans are really jacked up about the high school recruiting class that Hugh Freeze brought in, and you know, maybe they should be. But this roster lost some from last year's team. They didn't make an upgrade at quarterback, and they have not portaled very well either. They're expecting a huge jump from year one to year two for Hugh Freeze. And I know the schedule, especially early, sets up pretty nicely for Auburn, but I'm really not sold on that jump that they are expecting in year two. I think you might have some hurt feelings on the Plains coming up later this year. Arkansas. It must be really hard to be an Arkansas fan right now. I know they just hired Calipari, and maybe they're going to talk themselves into that being some kind of elite deal where championships are going to come, even though the last 5 years at Kentucky have not been anywhere close to that. And what does Arkansas offer that Kentucky can't? Nothing. So anyway, but retaining an uninspiring lame duck coach and then to turn around and lose players in the portal, Your new quarterback is a turnover machine, and everything else is just uninspiring. What an uninspiring, irrelevant program that Arkansas has slipped themselves into. That decision might come back to haunt them, not moving on from Sam Pittman after last year. But anyway, we'll see. Tennessee at 30, Vanderbilt at 41. That's right, Vanderbilt is ahead of two teams in the SEC in portal rankings as of right now. Number 41, LSU. And Brian Kelly warned LSU fans, or at least told them that this was coming. He talked earlier this year about how, you know, they're not going to be active in the portal. Maybe they're going to go get a guy or two, but that's really about it. If you guys listen to me every day on the radio show, you know that I do think that Brian Kelly is looked at more fondly than he should be as a head coach. I am not as impressed with the resume as other people are. That's just me. A lot of people disagree, but I do think losing three games with the Heisman Trophy winning number two overall pick at quarterback and those wide receivers, possibly the best statistical season in the history of college football, there's more issues than people are willing to give it credit for. They had big personnel issues on defense last year, and they've lost some bodies from that defense and haven't replaced them with capable bodies via transfer portal. Maybe they've got, it's LSU. They recruit high school really well. There's always going to be talent on that roster, but they had a personnel issue last year, and they have chosen to play the long game when it comes to building that personnel. Eventually, it'll probably work because that state produces talent. That program always has it, but when we're talking about 2024, yes, I know they changed the entire defensive staff, and I think that they have upgraded there. Brian Kelly made a really nice, big boy hire there, poaching Missouri's DC from them the way he did. But I think that when you look at LSU's roster, there shouldn't really be anything that excites you about, you know, what you see personnel wise. And as we know in football, it's great to think that coaching can save it all and be the great equalizer, but it's not. You saw it with Ole Miss at Georgia last year. You saw that a team that is lacking players, it does not matter what you scheme. I mean, we talked about it after the game on here. People were so mad. They're like, why didn't Golding do this? Or why didn't Lane do this? Nothing they could have done would have worked because they were so mismatch. They could have – Pete Golding and Lane Kiffin could have coached the game – schemed the game of their lives, and they still weren't winning that night because of how mismatched they were on the lines of scrimmage. Same thing here. I mean, you can have a great coordinator and a great staff and all that, but if you're lacking in personnel, I have a feeling we're going to see a 4-3 loss LSU team again this year. They have not added in the portal. And then Mississippi State being very, very last, the dead last portal class in all of the SEC when, I mean, they needed players. It was a team that wasn't very good last year. And they lost their best players on defense from a defense that, although was better by the end of last year, it wasn't a particularly good team, and they got shredded earlier in the season. I like Blake Shapen. I like a lot of what they've done on offense. I have a feeling that Mississippi State is going to score a lot of points on people. Nationally, Blake Shapen isn't looked at very fondly. I know that the state people, of course, really like what they've seen from him. I do, too. I like Blake Shapen. I think that he will do well there at Mississippi State. I like some of the wide receivers they have. They've done a good job portaling offensive line. But, man, the personnel defensively is just not there. And then when you loop in a rookie DC on top of that, I mean, they're going to have to score 40 points a game if they're going to win SEC games. So that it might be a struggle in year one to stack wins for Mississippi State, I think. But I think they're going to score on people. Just don't think they're going to stop anybody from scoring on them either. So there you go. Portal class rankings in the SEC. Just a quick run through because why not? And finally, the Governor's Cup. We don't really have to spend any time on that. I do have one thought, though. I said this on the radio show today, too, so forgive if I'm repetitive for those of you that listen to that as well. And for that, I thank you, by the way. But the bottom of the eighth inning was a perfect example of why those two teams are in the positions that they're in. Why Mississippi State is fighting to be a regional host. Why Mississippi State won that game last night. And why Ole Miss is on the outside looking in of the postseason. You saw it in the bottom of the eighth inning, where it's a tie game. It's a tie game. You have a runner on first with one out. Mississippi State has a runner on first with one out. And catcher lets a ball get by him. And at first, to his defense, he didn't see the ball right away. But USAC on first for Mississippi State, 9 times out of 10, when a ball gets by the catcher and you're on first base, you're really only getting second. Most guys just kind of jog on over to second because they know they're only getting two, and that's how a play like that works out. But the difference between these two teams and why Ole Miss is where they are is USAC took off for second base. Like, getting that base was going to be the difference between his team winning and losing, right? Effort play. He took off at second, expecting to be able to make a play. And guess what? He was given the opportunity to, because the Ole Miss player on the other side lollygagged his way to get the baseball and allowed a guy to go from first to third on a passed ball. That is your difference. And then that runner who shouldn't be on third base shouldn't have scored if you can execute a double play correctly. And they couldn't do that. But it started with a clear lack of effort, and Mike Bianco, ripped into him when he made a pitching change, deservedly so. But the Mississippi State player on first base was playing like it was a tie game in the eighth inning, was playing like that team needed to win that game that night. And Birch was not. And I hate to pick on one individual player because one player doesn't lose a game, but that is just an example of what Ole Miss baseball this season has been. They pitch it well for 8 innings. Couldn't drive runs home, but they're locked in this tight game against a good team, a real opportunity to get back on track, and the consistency isn't there, whether it be effort or the inability to turn a double play to end an inning, where instead you give Mississippi State an extra base, then you give them a free out, and then they blow the game open and you lose. you know, some people don't like questioning effort, and I certainly understand that. But in that moment, that was an effort deal. And in the bottom of the eighth inning, in a game that you've got to win against your rival, and that is the effort that you get, compounded with a sloppy mistake after that, that is why they're in the position that they're currently in right now. That moment, that play in that game was a perfect example of why they're in the position that they are currently in. So they ended up losing the game. And, you know, we're not going to preview the series this weekend because based on my conversations with you guys and our audience on the radio show and the numbers, you don't want to hear about it beyond what I've said and who's going to be the next coach. And I don't think that that conversation is one that we're going to have tonight. So let's keep talking about football. We'll get to your comments right after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. That's the website. If your Mississippi business anywhere in Mississippi is in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security and IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out online. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. That is the website. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority just like they make me their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps to manage your money. You just need an internet connection, and you can do everything you need to do with it. Unlike my previous bank, before I switched to Priority One Bank, I needed three apps to do what I wanted to do with my money. Not anymore, because Priority One Bank makes me their priority. They will for you as well. 16 locations here in Mississippi. Switch to Priority One Bank today. All right, let's get to your comments now. Ole Miss and America won today. Welcome in. Yeah, welcome in, Brandon. Glad to see you. Yeah, if it's all the same to you guys, I'm not going to talk much about what happened on campus today because, you know, there are political platforms where you know, you can get that kind of commentary. I will say, though, that you know what? I'll say this because I know the goal and a lot of stuff like what's gone on around the country the last few days. The goal for a lot of the people involved in that is not to actually spark change. It's not. It's to be destructive. It's to get control, whatever, clearly. But the media that covered the protest at Ole Miss today, they're clearly partisan, for one, which, you know, I'm not picking a side here. They were clearly partisan in favor of the protesters that were there first, not the counter ones, but the protesters that were there first. In their reporting on what was going on today, they were emotional and hysterical, frankly, in the way that they covered an event like that. And if they were to listen to me, which they wouldn't, but if they would, or listen to anybody else, they should hear this. If you want people to see your side, if you want them to consider your position, stop covering things like that the way you did. Stop talking about the race of the people that disagreed with them. Stop comparing it to something that happened in 1962. Stop being so emotional. Because when you get emotional, you get irrational. And when you're irrational, people tune you out. They do. And so nothing was accomplished today. If you wanted to, if those 20 people or so that were protesting there, if they wanted to accomplish anything, they didn't. In part because the people that covered it, were so irrational and emotional that nobody is even willing to hear them out, let alone change their mind. But as you guys know, nobody's interested in changing minds. They're just interested in making scenes. Maybe I shouldn't have said any of that because maybe that's isolating some people. Forgive me. It did happen on the Ole Miss campus today, and I am obviously here covering Ole Miss. You guys saw it all, I'm sure. It's just the way that political events are covered now are so emotional that nobody is willing to listen. I don't listen to my toddler when he melts down. We work on it every day. He and I work on it every day. If he's upset about something that either like I've done or if he wants something or whatever, and he's emotional about it, I ignore it. And then when he stops, he'll say, "No, buddy, you know the right way to ask me. Ask me the right way." And when he is calm and when he speaks to me without whining or crying or fussing or anything like that, I receive him. And he far more likely is going to get what he wants when he talks to me that way. We're working on that. You know, I want him to speak to adults like an adult. And I, look, I know he's a toddler, but still he's and it works and he's learning. And the way he goes about asking for things is really, really good. And I'm proud of myself as a dad for instilling that in him. But there were people that covered this event today that were so emotional that I didn't even want to engage in their commentary or read any of their work about it or anything because it's so irrational and emotional. And this happens on both sides in politics, depending on the event or whatever. When you cover things overly emotional and irrational, nobody will take you seriously. That's my observation from what happened today. Sorry again if this is not something you guys want to hear about, but I do think that that was the prevailing feeling that I had. Isaiah Hamilton commit? No, he did not. He did not commit, but it certainly looks like it's heading in that direction. All of the national guys think that that's inevitable, which would be big. Going to the whole deal about the portal, why didn't State hit the portal harder with that roster that was barely upgraded? I don't see them getting bowl eligible. That is a great question. Again, I like a lot of what they did on offense. So in fairness to Mississippi State, I like a lot of what they did on offense. And they needed to do a lot. I mean, they needed a number of wide receivers. They needed a running back. They needed a quarterback. They needed to retool basically the entire offensive line. They needed to get tight ends, stuff like that. So they did spend a lot of attention on offense. But yeah, frankly, with what they should have had to offer with playing time in the SEC on defense and kind of striking out the way they have is not good. Wasn't there a day a few months ago where I blew my back out so bad I had to cut off the stream earlier, couldn't stream? Yes. Yes, there was. So I have discovered, I used to just run every day. And that you plateau really quickly. Not that I should be giving anybody workout advice, but you plateau quickly. Like you don't change your body when you run. Like you feel good and it helps with your metabolism a little bit and obviously heart health and stuff, but it doesn't get you anywhere physically. And I didn't have time and I don't have time to go to the gym, nor do I want to feel like paying for the gym. There's a really nice one kind of by my house. It's like $100 a month. I don't want to pay that. I don't want to pay that. So I found a couple of guys on YouTube that do in-home HIIT workouts, high-intensity interval training. Isn't that what it is? Whatever. And so I do those every day, and they are awesome. And I feel really good. But the issue is it's a lot of jumping. It's a lot of stuff like that, a whole lot of burpees and things like that. And I am constantly, because I do them every day, and you're not supposed to, but I do them every day. You're supposed to do like 4 days a week. I do 7 days a week. And I just keep hurting my back. But I'm not going to stop because I feel good. You know, I'm in the best shape that I've been since I left for college. So, that's why I keep hurting myself. And so that's why I'm buying electric heating pads. Why isn't Hamilton even rated by 24/7? I have no idea. I have no idea. Pat, appreciate you, man. Thank you for your service as well, my friend. Glad that you are here. I know we aren't talking about the protest stuff today because that's not what this stream is about. I'm sorry I did that. I'm a little late on comments. Sorry about that. But you say, shout out to the Ole Miss students for showing out today. It was a sight to behold in person. you just don't have much sports to talk about right now. There's really not. There's really not. Although, as Brandon says, there's always time for football. If you're on campus, just be careful and keep your head on a swivel. Need you to be okay for a beer in the fall so we can sport our Curtin Rod shirts for Borky. We will do something in the Grove. We will do something in the Grove this year, something small. I'm not going to do a tent or anything like that. But I do. You know what I really like to do, by the way, guys? I used to call it square gating. Don't get me wrong. I know what the Grove is for Ole Miss. I know how important it is. I know the attention that it receives and things like that. I understand how very, very important the Grove is and how good it is. I enjoy it. I really like, though, if I'm going to a game up there, not going to the Grove. The square is the place to go. I'm telling you. Unless you have like a family tent or whatever, because you can sit in a climate controlled, like air conditioned bar at the bar, because you can actually get into bars when everybody's at the Grove, and you have six TVs of football in front of you, and you're not bumping into people. You're not having to walk half a mile to go pee or whatever. And you don't have to lug anything there that, you know, you got to pay for the beers, but they're already there for you. That is, to me, I know I'm a lame ass. Forgive my language, but I am. That is more enjoyable of a game day in Oxford than going to the Grove. I know that makes me weird. I get it. But I do like it so much more because you can, again, there's six games on your TVs and you're comfortable and you don't have to just worry about anything else. I know I'm weird. So excited about football, just what happened. It's just what happened today and what is happening at other campuses shouldn't be allowed. People are being sent out to cause conflict and violence across the country. That's why we have sports, to get away from all the nonsense. For sure. For sure. Nice to meet you at the game. Nice to meet you too. Nice to meet you too, man. You have no more thoughts on baseball. It is what it is. I was done after last week. I'll check back in when a coaching decision is made. Another one. Baseball's over until a new coach is announced. Can we do a meetup at a batting cage? That would be more exciting than the last couple of baseball seasons. Oh, man. Is there one around here? Because there used to be, where I grew up, there's Frankie's Fun Park is what it was called. And it was a big arcade. So they had this huge arcade. And then laser tag, which was multi-level laser tag. It was awesome. And then they had putt-putt, like four putt-putt courses or three putt-putt courses, and like four go-kart tracks and batting cages in the same place. But I don't think there's anything like that here, is there? Like where you go and you put a dollar in and it'll send you, you know, 20 pitches or whatever in a batting cage. I don't think there's anything like that here. Maybe that's our million-dollar idea. Although Top Golf is coming, so that'll take up a lot of my time. LSU will go like 8-4 this year and let the panic ensue. Man, and those people down there are expecting playoff, and I don't think they're going to the playoff right now. I don't see it. Arkansas is a dead program. 3 to 4 wins there. State could get to 6, but yeah, their defensive roster and coaching is a travesty. Going to have to score 35 plus a lot. Lebby has potential, though. I think that Lebby's going to do well. I really do. I think that he gets it. And obviously, his offense is proven. Hot take, Ole Miss goes 11-1 this season and doesn't lose to Georgia. Who do they lose to? At LSU. Would be in that scenario, I think it would be at LSU. Although I don't particularly like LSU, but you know that's going to be an 8 o'clock, 110,000 person liquored up Death Valley. So, hey, Mike, hey, Jeffrey, glad to see you. Think they go undefeated at home, but lose to LSU. I saw some lines came out. We might talk about that on Sunday some, because some of them were odd to me. Anyway, You're of the same thought. You think a trap game, honestly, calling Florida in the swamp because this team with Georgia and Oxford for a night game should win. Can't imagine a loss to Florida, but then maybe they keep the coach. My point earlier was spot on. The art of conversation is lost these days. Maybe he needs to sit me down and let me know how much I need a curtain rod. He pulls that thing down all the time. All the time. Ooh, I've got a story for you. I hope this never gets back to her, okay? My neighbor across the street is a sweet, sweet lady. I mean, she's really nice, really good neighbor, really good neighbor. She's got a 17-year-old daughter and I think a 13-year-old son. Good kids, really nice, respectful kids. Like, I really like her. She's really nice. But she drives a car that has, she's got like a muffler on it and it's obnoxious. Again, she's very nice, but her car is obnoxious. And like 2 years ago, she started her car and James said, "Daddy, what's that sound?" And I said, "Oh, that's just our neighbor's obnoxious car." That's what I said. Now, every single day when she fires up that car, he runs to the window and screams, "Daddy, our neighbor's obnoxious car. Come look, our neighbor's obnoxious car," every day. And I can't get him to stop. I'm terrified because now that he's talking much more clear, like at first it was okay because it was just kind of like, you know, kid babble. But now it's very clear. Our neighbor's obnoxious car. I'm terrified of the day he's going to say that to her. And she's going to know that I'm talking junk about her to my son, even though she's a very nice lady and a wonderful neighbor, and I really like her, but her car's obnoxious. And I said it one time to this kid, one time. He's probably listening to what I'm saying right now. One time. And that was it. He's going to tell her one day, and I'm going to be the bad neighbor that talks junk about her. Tight end is a decent position. State got from the portal, twin brothers, 4-star and a 3-star. From Vandy in Florida, yep. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Thank you, Kobe. Highly doubt Florida has Napier when Ole Miss visits. I'm kind of with you on that one. They'll probably can him after he loses to by 30 to Georgia. Seriously. Next time I'm in Hattiesburg to see all the Southern Miss fans that adore me, hit you up and you'll get me a discount for a few kettlebells. Appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I was actually looking forward to possibly getting down to a Southern Miss game if they were going to play those midweeks. Because the Sun Belt's playing, you know, midweek games this year. Southern Miss doesn't have one, which I'm assuming is good for, like, Hattiesburg in the area to have no home, like, Tuesday night games because they're just not attended well. But I found that crazy. It just that they avoided that. So I don't know if getting down to a game, at least in football, is going to be in the cards this year because of, you know, but I was kind of disappointed to see that because I love Hattiesburg. I enjoy going there. It's a really great town. There's a lot of really great people there. Some Southern Miss fans think I hate them. I just don't at all. I don't hate them at all. I really like Southern Miss. I like the people that work at the athletic department that I've interacted with. I mean, generally they have good sports and I mean, Will Hall, especially is awesome. Anyway, some people think that Nate Dom isn't done, but matter of fact, he was in the bullpen last night when Tyler Davis came in. Is what state ceiling if he's back healthy? His state ceiling, if he's back healthy, ceiling College World Series is their ceiling. If he's back healthy, yeah. I grew up in upstate South Carolina. I did. Greenville, the Greenville area. So I say Greenville, but it's like saying to somebody that you meet from California, if you live in Ridgeland, like, you know, I'm from Jackson, Mississippi. I say that because Greenville is more recognizable than Simpsonville, but I went to Malden High School. You know what I mean? Which they're just literally, they're all pressed up against each other. So, yeah, upstate South Carolina. I went to the same high school that Kevin Garnett went to before he moved to, I guess, Chicago. So, yeah. State's going to give Lebby 3 years to turn that program around. You're just not sure if he can do it. The analytical lines you've seen that SEC podcast is using sounds wrong. I forgot who made them, but some lines that you didn't get was Florida being like minus 15 and a half in Starkville or Ole Miss minus 2 at Florida. Yeah, that makes no sense at all, frankly, because the obvious, frankly. Levy's going to have to beat Kiffin or else it doesn't matter how good he does. Look at Leach before he, yeah. Jeff Lebby, not in year one. I think that most State fans, the overwhelming majority of them, just kind of understand the situation that they're in. I mean, it's just one of those things, and this is what Haydad said to his credit the other day on the radio show. He's like, you guys, some of you just need to understand that Ole Miss, big bad Ole Miss, is going to be good this year. Just deal with it. Suck it up. Because they are. And if they're not, this is what Haydad said. He said, if they're not, I'm going to laugh every Monday on this show when they lose, but they are, so just get over it, kind of. Just suck it up. That's kind of the position that they're in 2024 is, look, Ole Miss is very good. They're in a transition year, a lot of roster turnover. It's just going to be that way. He will be forgiven by rational people, and every fan base has the irrational, but he will be forgiven for losing to Kiffin in year one. That will end after year one. Losing to him in Starkville in year two would be a problem. I agree, though. You don't think they would accept 8 or 9 wins if they're losing to Ole Miss every season? No. Got to beat Ole Miss. Do you think South Carolina is going to be awful as well? Watch out for Beamer on the hot seat. You think he's gone after this year? Certainly could be. Certainly could be. I think that they will win just enough to have one of those Pittman years where it's like, oh, are they really keeping him? Really? Are they really? Okay. One of those kind of things. He lived in Taylor's for 24 years. Wow. Awesome. Small world. Love the upstate. South Carolina isn't a really good program. They're really not. I mean, no history. They have one Heisman Trophy. I've actually had the pleasure of meeting George Rogers, by the way, at a golf tournament a long time ago. But they have one Heisman Trophy. Their biggest bowl wins were Outback Bowls. Made it to the SEC Championship and got smoked. I mean, it's a program with no history to speak of. Really passionate fan base, though. I mean, I criticized the Beamer hire from day one, too. I thought that was a really bad choice in that moment. I mean, everybody overthinks coaching hires. This is my take in perpetuity. Stop worrying about things like SEC experience. Don't worry about that. Shane Beamer, if his name wasn't Beamer, if it was Bonner, he wouldn't have gotten the job. Kansas State needed a coach. They went and hired a winner. Kleiman came in and he started winning because he's a winner. I love what Indiana did. They hired Cignetti. Go get you a winner. That's, to me, far more important than, well, has he coached in the SEC? And it doesn't always work. Look at Napier at Florida. He was a winner. It hasn't worked. But a lot of people overthink coaching hires to where, oh, I got to go get a splash or got to go get a this. Find a coach that establishes a winning culture, and I promise you he will figure it out more times than not. But you hire a Shane Beamer who's never run a program before, and look at what it is. And again, you can hire Billy Napier and look at what Florida is. Hiring coaches is not an exact science, but I do think people way overthink the whole splashy hire deal. Yeah, don't forget to like the video. Appreciate that. Yeah, please like the video. You think Tennessee could be good or could be salty this year if Nico is good? I do too. A lot of people underselling Tennessee. Beamer, Pittman, and Napier going to be playing golf together with buyout soon. Kentucky will be Kentucky and win seven games. I think that that's exactly where they're going to be. South Carolina is Vandy if they actually cared. How about Vanderbilt? They did some nice things in the transfer portal. They are trying. Clark Lee is trying. They have a very small amount of boosters that are trying. They're building basically a new stadium. They're giving it the old college try. It's just not enough. It's just simply not enough. You don't think Pittman's gone after this year? Interesting, considering Arkansas's expectations. Another one says, literally 7 wins according to their AD. It shouldn't be that hard for Pittman. Did he really say that? Stop picking on Vandy. Sorry. You know I love you, though. A&M could be decent. I think there's a chance that they could be good. Not just decent, but good. Sometimes some teams need a splash hire to gain momentum with the fans. True. But you know what gains momentum? Wins. That's the only real thing that can really get you momentum. Thoughts on the effects of the whole revenue sharing dilemma. I will close with this. So appreciate you guys being here. I will close with this one. So revenue sharing is a term, is a phrase that scares people. And I understand why, because you love college football and you don't want to see it become the NFL. But what I tell people all the time is what separates college football from the NFL is not the lack of players getting played. That's not the difference. The difference is the schools, the pageantry, the traditions. That's the difference. Your connection with the institution, your connection with the town, your connection with the name, the fight song, the mascots, the student section, that's what separates it. The games are more chaotic because the players are not as good, and so there's a little bit more chaos. That's what makes college football great. It's not the fact that players aren't getting paid. You've never sat in the stands and watched a guy catch a touchdown pass and elbowed your buddy and say, you know what's great about that? He's not getting paid a dollar. No, nobody ever thought that. They're different, and they should remain different. But college football needs to be more like the NFL in a few areas. Revenue sharing is a way that they can get power back if they do it right. Now, I've read the stories about this settlement that's coming. It doesn't sound like they're taking it far enough. Frankly, it needs to go 3 steps further. What college football needs to do is bite the bullet. You guys have heard me talk about it before. They need to bite the bullet. They need to go ahead and negotiate collectively with the players. And here's why they do that. I know that people don't like that concept, but here's why you do it. Because in the NFL, there are strictly enforced rules. And if you break those rules, you get punished severely. There's a reason that the billionaire owners cannot pay their players, like, out of pocket. Because if they get caught, they lose their team. Everybody has the same cap that is enforced. And if you get away from that cap, you get punished severely. You lose draft picks. You could lose your team. You get punished very swiftly, harshly. Everybody plays by the same set of rules in the NFL. Why are they able to do that? Because the owners, the organizations, the league, and the players sat at a table and collectively bargained an agreement that gives both sides some power. The players get 48.5% of the revenue, which college football players wouldn't, but the players get 48.5% of revenue in exchange for a salary cap, in exchange for rules about free agency, stuff like that. You don't have any of that in college, and it's chaotic, and it's a disaster. If you bite the bullet and you collectively bargain, yes, you have to give revenue share. And yes, that turns some people off. But you know what else you could get? Contracts. Contracts that bind player to school. Contracts that bind player to team. No more bowl opt-outs. Rules that you can enforce legally Where a judge in Tennessee won't tell you, you can't enforce your rules, everybody can go anywhere, no caps, limitless. Where you can take these power conferences and set up an enforcement arm that can actually swiftly punish teams. You can say, this is the salary cap. If we find out that you tampered, if we find out that you paid a player under the table, this is your punishment, and it's so punitive, nobody will do it. That's what exists in the NFL. That's why it's balanced. That's why it's fair. That's why when a team loses, the only people they have to blame is the team, because the resources are identical everywhere. But in college, Georgia is always going to be a step ahead of Ole Miss because of economics. That's not right. It's never been right. Go ahead and bite the bullet. Take it two steps further than what you're talking about right now and get power back. And there goes my neighbor's obnoxious car right now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate you so, so very much. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. We will be back on Sunday. Little Man and I are going to go to the Mississippi Braves game, but that's at 2 o'clock. So we'll be back in plenty of time for the stream on Sunday night. So I'll see you guys then. I appreciate you very, very much. And I'll talk to you on Sunday. Y'all have a good weekend.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.